The Tom Hartmann Show is next on IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Monica DeSantis. There are reports of yet another suicide bombing attack in Israel. This time the target was a shopping mall in the northern Israeli city of Afula. Officials say there are at least four deaths, including the suicide bomber. There have been a series of such attacks in Israel over the past couple of days. Last week's attacks in Riyadh were not only mostly Saudi, but also appeared to have obtained their weapons there. Laura Iyama reports.
The attackers had been in a gun battle with Saudi police earlier this month. Saudi officials said all 19 escaped but left weapons and explosives behind. A closer examination of those arms is said to have revealed they came from the Saudi National Guard. The Washington Post reports members of the Saudi National Guard have been known to have illegally sold weapons before. A Saudi with the foreign ministry has denied the Post story, saying the only weapons found in the raid were made in Russia. Laura Iyama, Washington.
Meanwhile, a man armed with a gun has been taken into custody by Saudi authorities after he was found wandering near the U.S. consulate in Dahran, Saudi Arabia. The Iraqi people are raising their voices in protest against the continued presence of U.S. forces in their country. Thousands took to the streets of a Baghdad suburb calling for the withdrawal of coalition troops and the establishment of an Iraqi government. The demonstrators, predominantly Shiite Muslims, carried some posters that read, "No, no, no, USA, and we want honest men for Iraq, not thieves." Ari Fleischer says he's stepping aside as White House spokesman because, quote, "My heart tells me it's time to go." Fleischer says he informed President Bush of his decision last Friday in what he described as an emotional meeting. Fleischer is expected to leave his post over the summer. On Wall Street this hour, the Dow was down 133 points, the Nasdaq down 26, and the S&P down 17 points.
Do you haggle at the dollar store?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think penny candy is far too expensive?
Yes.
Do you look for change in other people's couches?
Yes.
If you answered yes to any of these questions,
yes,
then you, my penny-pinching friend, are our kind of customer.
Yeah.
Because Hotwire.com can save you up to 75% on hotel rooms. Hotwire gets you a 4-star hotel for a 2-star price. So remember, if you're the type of person who runs your paper plates through the dishwasher, then Hotwire is for you.
Hotwire.com. Fly, sleep, drive. Cheap.
I had a bad headache. I tried Advil Liquigels. They work faster than Tylenol.
I needed stronger medicine, and Advil Liquigels get that medicine to my headache faster.
I get better relief with Advil Liquigels.
Every day, more people are choosing Advil Liquigels to relieve tough headache pain. Advil has these advanced capsules with liquid medicine inside to rush relief where you need it. Proven faster, stronger, better than Tylenol.
Now, every time I get a tough headache, I choose Advil Liquigels.
For better headache relief, advance to Advil.
The Columbia Accident Investigation Board may not be ready to accept NASA's claims that nothing could have been done to save the crew of the ill-fated space shuttle Columbia. That's according to statements Florida Today reports the board's head recently made. A final report on the disaster is due out later this summer. Boston's Children's Hospital is being sued for allegedly harvesting an 18-month-old baby's organs without permission from the parents. The hospital admits taking the organs after the boy died some 6 years ago, but says it had permission from the medical examiner.
Philip Constance.
Oh, Philip, I can't take this anymore. I want to be free.
You mean you want to be free of me, the kids, and the dirty laundry?
No.
Oh.
I want to be free of overnight laxatives that give me cramps.
Darling, that means Freelax.
What's so different about Freelax?
It's the only overnight laxative that gives you stimulant-free, cramp-free relief in just 2 caplets.
If I take Freelax tonight, I'll get relief before the kids start fighting over breakfast?
Depend on it. Freelax is the free of everything you hate about laxatives, laxative. He was only as directed.
The U.S. startled observers at the World Health Organization yesterday by saying it will support a global anti-smoking treaty. The treaty aims to diminish tobacco use through measures like stopping advertising for cigarettes and cracking down on smuggling. 3-time Golden Globe winner Cybill Shepherd will portray mega-rich businesswoman Martha Stewart in a television movie event. Shepherd said she did not want to imitate Martha Stewart. Shepherd says that she was aware of Martha Stewart's temper before most people.
She's been known for a very long time to be a screamer at the people that she works with. I knew that way before it came out in books and things like that, that she had a side to her that was a little scary.
The 2-hour NBC biopic, Martha, Inc., the story of Martha Stewart is based on the best-selling unauthorized biography by Christopher Byron, and the movie event occurs tonight on NBC. I'm Monica DeSantis, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. A picture's worth a thousand words, so picture this. A toilet bowl. You know what car part is similar to that household favorite? Battery? Gas tank? No, those won't float. But when I come back, I'll tell you what does.
Doug is frugal.
Well, money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
The problem is, Doug is about to buy a used car.
Yep, and I'm gonna get ripped off!
And Doug doesn't know about Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. So you know your money's well spent.
So I might save thousands?
Exactly, Doug. Just go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report.
Hey, how about we go halvesies on the car?
How about nunsies?
How about sumsies?
No. Carfax, the truth about used cars.
What's the automotive equivalent of your toilet bowl? Your carburetor. Both have little floats that control levels of liquid. Ever lifted the top of a toilet tank and bent the rod to stop water from flowing? Carburetors have similar float valves that adjust fuel level. In toilets, the excess water streams harmlessly to the sewer. But in carburetors, surplus fuel flows into the motor, causing engine damage, decreased gas mileage, and air pollution. All good reasons to include carburetor checks in your annual inspections. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome to our program. This is the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network, streaming around the world on the Internet, broadcasting on terrestrial radio stations from west to east across the United States, and streaming down from the depths of outer space from the Sirius satellite, Channel 145, Sirius left, from the equator all the way up to the Arctic Circle, from the East Coast to the West, all across North America. Welcome to our program today, and welcome to this new week. We, from our bulletin board here, TomHartman.com, we've got both a message board and a live chat room. The live chat room, by the way, is open, and I'm sitting in it. I can only respond during the breaks, but if you wanted to make a fast comment, you're welcome to go in there. If you just go to TomHartman.com, and there's a link that says to the radio program, and you click on that, and then on the navigation bars on the left, you'll see both message boards and chat room. The message boards are there's about 12,000 messages posted in there, thousands of people just having conversations, mostly on the topics of books that I've written. But we've got a special section that's just for the radio program, and we have about 100 posts in there right now. And also the chat room, which is just a live window that pops open, and whatever you type in there, I'll see it in real time so I can respond to you. Also, if you'd like to call the program today and participate, if you want to be on the program, the number is 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Anyhow, on our message board, Tricia in Ohio posted an interesting message. She said, as a forward to this post, I'm sharing some research that I'm doing with my 12-year-old daughter. I'm teaching her larger concepts at earlier ages than most children because I don't think she should have to wait in order to have a complete understanding, if anything, if any at all. And talking about how we can help our kids go beyond just the standardized curriculum of our schools. And Bill in Illinois responds, Trish, I wish you luck in giving your daughter insight that she will never find on Fox News. How true. Secondly, we have Klaus in Eugene, Oregon. He had posted, he started a thread, actually, on the topic of music suggestions for the program. And he says, just a little aside to lighten up while on topic. And he suggests Curtis Mayfield's Keep On Keeping On, and then Sawdust from Florida says, how about Ohio by the Pretenders? And then Klaus suggests The Waker by Widespread Panic, again from Eugene. We just read these things this morning. I'm sorry we were out of town over the weekend. And we have to submit bumper music the day before to the network. But I appreciate your feedback. We will get some of this music, and we'll get them on the air. Bumper music really does create an ambiance for the first show, and I think it's an important thing. Thank you for your feedback. Thank you for your comments. Great to hear from you, and keep them coming. Also, anybody who wants to email me, the email is tom@tomhartman.com, although I can't get that while we're live on the air, but I can see the chat room, as I said, at tomhartman.com. Our question for the hour, is the right-wing spin machine in danger of disintegrating? Some interesting cracks appearing in this enormous facade that has taken power and control in so many ways, particularly since the mid-1980s. You could say that in many ways it started big time in 78 after the Boston versus Bilotti Supreme Court decision that essentially allowed corporations to participate in politics on an equal level with people who can vote, even though corporations can't vote. And suddenly corporate money started flooding into the political arena, and those politicians and that party that was most favorable to politicians has been the beneficiary of most of that. But then also in 1986, with the end of the Fairness Doctrine, we saw this sweep of right-wing talk radio coming across America, and some interesting cracks beginning to appear in the wall. We'll talk about those in this hour. Our quote for the hour comes from Gandhi, and this is a wonderful one. This is my hope for all the things we're going to be talking about this hour and next, and really across the show, as this radio program, as we go across time, this is it. On the Tom Hartman program here, this is my goal. Transformation begins when a vision that belongs to one person becomes one that belongs to many. Not to say that it's my vision. I of course have my own vision of America and what America can and should become, and I think that many people share it. It's not something that I uniquely developed. I synthesized it from reading many people, listening to people, talking with people, observing the history of the United States, reading Thomas Jefferson's writings, writing a couple of books on these topics, The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight and Unequal Protection being the main ones, and in the process of writing them, really having to dig deep in this stuff. I'm also working on a book right now called The Athens Experiment about the history of democracy, and specifically the history of American democracy and the dangers that we face. And so I find myself up to my eyeballs in these things every day. And what I see over and over and over again so clearly is that change never happens from the top down. Change always happens from the bottom up. Change, whether it was the suffrage movement, the women's suffrage movement, whether it was the abolitionist movement, whether it was the free speech movement, whether it was the civil rights movement, no matter what, and the Vietnam War movement, the populist movement in the United States, which brought about direct election of the Senate, which was a huge change that in the early part of the 19th century. All of these, every single one of these major transformations of American democracy, all began with individuals, people like you and people like me, waking up to toxic stories within our culture, toxic beliefs, waking up and saying, whoa, wait a minute, that doesn't work. That's not healthy. That's harmful. So let's look at some of the last remnants of this for today as we look at the question, is the right-wing spin machine in danger of disintegrating? From the right-wing press on the Internet, we find here from a Truth Seeker website, Ted Turner, this is big on many of the right-wing websites. It's fascinating what they choose to go after. Ted Turner, of course, maybe because he was Jane Fonda's husband, I'd say largely more because he invented CNN, which oddly people on the right think of as being left-wing. I remember right after George Bush was elected, one of the vice presidents of CNN, and I've been trying to find this story. It appeared in the New York Times, and it was picked up by our local newspaper, and it only ran for a day. It was like this little blip that then vanished, and there was a brief mention of it on NPR. One of the vice presidents of CNN made a pilgrimage to the White House right after George W. was inaugurated, to assure the White House that they would from now on get favorable treatment. And in fact, his verbal faux pas and gaffes have not been publicized. They always make sure that the good camera angles, because the way it works is the White House controls who gets to ask questions, who gets press passes, who gets to talk, you know, who. And, you know, Helen Thomas spoke up, the grand dame of American journalism. She was with AP for years and years. Helen Thomas is in her late 70s, early 80s. She's one of the most highly respected journalists probably in the history of the United States. And because she spoke out against the Bush administration's manipulation of the news and the media last year, she has been relegated to the back of the room at the White House press conferences. And although presidents from Dwight Eisenhower up until George Bush in his first press conference traditionally called on Helen very often as the first question, she has not been called on since. She's been punished. She's been sent to the corner because she wasn't a good syncopant. She wasn't a good... she didn't suck up enough to the administration. And so CNN actually went to Washington, D.C. and said, we'll suck up, no problem. We'll assign an openly pro-Bush reporter, John King, and we're going to do all this stuff to make George look good. Now, please give us access to news stories. And yet, Ted Turner himself is unabashedly at least a centrist and many would argue a liberal, and so he gets beat up. So here we have in the right-wing press, Ted Turner gave a speech last Thursday at the Commonwealth Club in San Francisco, and he had a few things to say about Rupert Murdoch, the Australian who became a British citizen who owns Fox News in the United States. He's a warmonger, Turner said in a Thursday evening speech. And Turner added, the media is too concentrated. Too few people own too much, he said. There's really five companies that control 90% of what we read, see, and hear, and it's not healthy. Well, that did not please the right-wing machine. They also mentioned... Dyke, what's his name? What's his first name? I'm missing it here. The BBC General Director General Greg Dyke, who had said, he head of the BBC, and he says, and he was over here during the Iraq War, and he said, personally, I was shocked while in the United States by how unquestioning the broadcast news media was during the war. He said, if Iraq has proved anything, it was that the BBC cannot afford to mix patriotism and journalism. In other words, the BBC, because it is funded by the British government, has this mandate never to take the position of the British government or of any other interest group. It has to be absolutely as impartial as possible. Now, many on the right say, wait a minute, no, that's not fine. You know, NPR, it's anti-government. Well, NPR skewered Bill Clinton. NPR has skewered, you know, if they view themselves as truth tellers, and they have to. If a media source that is paid for by the government but not controlled by the government, and there's a very significant difference, if a media source that is paid for by the government is not impartial, it's doomed. It has to be impartial. It has no choice. On the other hand, network news, corporate news, has no requirement to be impartial. I mean, we have a situation where a Fox television station down in Florida fired two reporters for refusing to lie on the air about a story that they were doing about growth hormones in milk. And they refused to lie on the air. They sued Fox for unlawful termination or inappropriate termination for firing them without cause. And the jury of their peers unanimously concluded that they had been inappropriately fired, that being ordered to tell lies on the air and refusing to do so was not grounds for dismissal, and awarded them $425,000. Fox came back and said, we don't have any obligation to tell the truth. News doesn't have to be impartial. News is entertainment. It's stuff to sell sponsorships. And a three-judge federal court ruled in Fox, two of the judges appointed by Republicans, ruled in Fox's favor and said, no, the news doesn't have to be truthful. So, interesting dichotomy. We'll come back here with the right-wing spin machine. We've just begun to dig into this after this break. This is the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network, where we're still honoring we the people instead of we the transnational corporations.
If you're single and you've been going around in circles looking for the right person to love, then I've got a life-changing idea for you. Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. Our team of PhDs has developed a proven way to match singles that consistently results in relationship success. That's why eHarmony.com is so different. It really works. We're receiving hundreds of marriage announcements, and these eHarmony marriages are significantly happier. If you're really serious about finding the person of your dreams, visit eHarmony.com. We'll take care of the incredibly complex task of compatibility so you can enjoy the fun of finding the chemistry. I want to encourage you to try eHarmony today. We'll give you an eye-opening personality profile absolutely free. This $40 value will get you started on the most important search of your life. Find real compatibility at eHarmony.com.
Are you wondering how to prosper in our so-called muddle-through economy? Experts say that gold is now the buy of a generation. Hi, I'm Christopher Kent, host of Antique Talk, and I'd like to introduce you to Swiss America, the company that's helping America to rediscover gold. Now, I'm no expert on the economy or on gold, but I am an expert on antiques and collectibles. And Swiss America is the leader in the United States collectible coin market, which has a very impressive track record over the past 30 years. But before you launch out into rare coins, the first step is to get educated. So please, write this number down, 1-800-289-2646, which spells 1-800-BUY-COIN. That's B-U-Y-C-O-I-N. Ask for a free copy of The New Gold Rush. It'll help you understand this emerging gold rush so you can stake your claim and tell them Christopher Kent told you to call.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boy, come on.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
As soon as you're born, they make you feel small by giving you no time instead of it all. the pain is so big you feel nothing at all. A working class hero is something to be. A working class hero is something to be.
And welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network, bringing you uncommon sense from the radical middle. So here we have this right-wing website talking about the head of BBC says he is not only the head of the BBC, but a skilled and consummate liar. And they say, by criticizing counterparts and treating them as adversaries, the elite's own men deflect scrutiny from themselves. These folks are suggesting that the reason why Ted Turner criticized Rupert Murdoch was so that he himself would not be the subject of criticism. Interesting. Here's another. This is Newsmax.com, another right-wing site. Ted Turner may have lost most of his billions, but he's lost none of his venom. And they're quoting Fortune Magazine's May 26th edition, Gone with the Wind, an article about how Turner has lost some of his billions. And Turner, in this article, says Rupert Murdoch is the most dangerous man in the world. And then they go on to point out that Turner, who owns a 580,000-acre ranch in New Mexico, is drilling for natural gas on it. And they say perhaps Uncle Ted will end his hypocrisy and come out in support of Alaska oil drilling. So, again, what's going on here is attack the person, not the idea. If somebody says something that you don't like, you attack the individual. This is the right-wing machine, the machine's major technique. It's why they went after Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky, because they didn't want to talk about his tax policies. They didn't want to talk about the way he ran the government. They didn't want to talk about his foreign policy. They didn't want to talk about his successes in Bosnia. They didn't want to talk. No. Attack the individual. It's why they're going after John Kennedy now. It's if you can attack the individual, you don't have to deal with the actual issues. And the reality is that in most cases, those on the extreme right, their issues don't hold up to scrutiny. When you dig into their issues, you discover that really what they're about are essentially corporatism. And I want to make a very clear distinction here. For weeks now, we've been talking about the dangers of corporate takeovers, of corporatism. You know, the corporate takeover of the media. I'm not anti-corporation. In fact, I'm very pro-corporation. I own a corporation. I've started several corporations in my lifetime. But there's a very real and significant difference between a small business company, a medium-sized corporation, and a very large transnational corporation. The corporations, we've talked about corporations claiming human rights and how by claiming First Amendment rights of free speech, Fourth Amendment rights of privacy so that they can hide crimes, 14th Amendment rights against discrimination so they can force themselves on communities that don't want them, how corporations, by doing this, have harmed not only local communities, but democracy itself. They've certainly destroyed, in many ways, the discourse of democracy. But we have to keep in mind that this is a very small handful of companies. There are probably fewer than 500 or 600, at the most 1,000 corporations, who are behaving in the United States in ways that are overtly destructive to democracy. The problem is that some of them are the very largest and most powerful of the corporations in America. And these are the core, you know, when Franklin Roosevelt, 1936, he said, what they claim that we are attacking them and trying to take away their freedoms. What we're actually doing is trying to take away their power. And he said they wrap themselves in the flag, but they forget what the flag means. This is the real issue. Not just corporate power, but the power of a very small handful of very dangerous corporations. Stick with us. We'll be right back. This is the Tom Hartman Show on the IE America Radio Network.
Max, I can't. can't go on anymore. I want to be free.
You want to be free of Hollywood, the glamour, the fame?
No. I want to be free of overnight liquid laxatives that taste like I'm drinking chalk.
Well, that's easy, baby. Take Freelax. It's the only overnight laxative that gives you stimulant-free, cramp-free relief in just two caplets.
Ooh, are you sure I'll be free of constipation before my early morning flight to the coast?
Depend on it. Freelax is the free of everything you hate about laxatives. Laxative.
Oh, Max.
Use only as directed.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
3,100 flight attendants with American Airlines will lose their jobs by the end of June, according to the wage and benefit concessions agreement their union signed with the airline earlier this year to help keep it from going bankrupt. Those first to go from the payroll will be flight attendants with the least seniority. As many as 4,600 were to be laid off, but since 1,500 flight attendants agreed to take voluntary leave, the number of pink slips was reduced. The workers were notified of the pending layoffs on Wednesday, and the following day, American followed up with an announcement that it still may go bankrupt. At this point, however, the company is not talking about trying to squeeze more labor concessions out of its workforce to stay afloat yet.
A 7-month strike of tortilla workers in South Chicago has come to an end, but employees of Azteca Food say they'll continue to call for a boycott until their union wins a first contract. Azteca tortilla workers struck their plant last September, charging that company managers illegally spied on workers while interrogating and threatening to fire union supporters. Last week, the company settled with the National Labor Relations Board, and while it's not admitting any wrongdoing, Azteca will be forced to post notices in the workplace pledging to abide by labor laws. The workers now return to the job with what they hope will be a stronger position at the bargaining table, where they hope to win a pension plan, health insurance, and higher wages than the $10.75 an hour that senior employees now earn. During their 7-month walkout, not a single striker crossed the picket line.
Members of the British government and fire brigades union are back at the bargaining table today in what may be a last-ditch attempt to hammer out a new contract for the country's firefighters. The government has a bill to force a settlement just about ready to clear both houses of parliament, and the FBU says if today's talks don't go well, it will schedule a fresh round of strikes tomorrow.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Don't sweat the petty stuff and don't pet the sweaty stuff.
How's that for sage advice?
Well, it's better than being called stupid and immoral all morning long, isn't it?
Join me, Nancy Skinner, for a radio evolution.
It's Nancy Skinner's Radio Vox Pop, a program where we discuss our problems and how to solve them in a positive way without having to disown your in-laws, give up your career goals, and generally alienate everybody you know.
That's Nancy Skinner's Radio Vox Pop, weekdays from 10 to noon Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
Tired of talk radio sounding like a propaganda arm of the Republican Party? Well, so am I. This is Peter Werby, and I've moved my program to 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time weekdays. Join me as I expose the Grand Oil Party's plans to pay off their corporate paymasters by making this country a permanent warfare state while destroying the environment and attacking the rights of women and working people in the process. So tune by the show, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time, and join me.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Rainy day people always seem to know when it's time to close. Rainy day people don't talk, they just listen till they've heard it all.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program, where it's not raining here in Vermont. Boy, it's I think it's the first day this year. It's 80 degrees outside here in the People's Republic of Vermont, up in the mountains near Montpelier. And what a beautiful day. It is so nice to be alive. Is the right-wing spin machine in danger of disintegrating? our question for the hour. Here we have another interesting right-wing website attacking Phil Graham. Asked point blank about possible Intelligence Committee evidence that would indicate that the president, that, quote, the president was looking the other way at actionable intelligence when it came to pursuing Osama bin Laden, end quote. Republican Senator Chuck Hagel flatly told Fox News Sunday's Tony Snow, no. So, you know, essentially recycling Fox News information as news stories and then going on to take on Phil Graham, you know, and let's attack this guy. You know, no, he's a crank. He's running for political office, of course. And so you have to salt things with that. You have to acknowledge that. But nobody's asking, for example, Chuck Hagel about his having been the head of the voting machine company that then placed its voting machines across his state of Nebraska, and then he ran for the Senate, and there's some real questions about the whole voting machine issue and its legitimacy. Now that somehow doesn't get brought up. That doesn't get discussed. So is the right-wing spin machine in danger of disintegrating? Well, these kinds of things would seem to indicate that it's not. And here we have, you know, Phil Graham being pilloried by Chuck Hagel for talking about 9/11 and about the, you know, Graham was actually chairman of the House Intelligence Committee. And Graham says that, quote, I think that what the officials in the Bush administration are shooting at is to cover up the failures that occurred before September the 11th. Even more so, the failure to utilize the information we've gained to avoid a future September 11th. I call that a cover-up, Graham said. And there are these many questions that still have not been answered, that are still out there, that are still floating around. By the way, if you'd like to talk about any of these issues, our number is 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. And I noticed a couple of people had come into our chat room at tomhartman.com. I tried to post a message, and I got an error that said there's some problem sending the message or whatever. Maybe we have a little less than reliable piece of software here. If you're having problems with it, post a message on the message board or send me an email at tom@tomhartman.com. If you have suggestions for chat software that might be more reliable, let me know. We'll see what we can do. This is still a work in progress here, this website. Anyhow, 9/11, why in the months before 9/11 did FBI headquarters consistently obstruct field agent investigations of potential terrorists? Why were many detailed warnings from the intelligence services of Britain, Germany, Egypt, Russia, Italy, and other foreign governments ignored? Why do eyewitness accounts of the behavior and movements of lead hijacker Mohammed Atta conflict with the findings of a government investigation? Why, whatever happened to all those puts of stock on the airline insurance companies? Why have they never been investigated, those people who made millions on those things? Why did the head of Pakistani intelligence approve a $100,000 wire transfer to Mohammed Atta and then was meeting with Republican officials the day of 9/11, and the question never got raised? And still hasn't been. Why did Congress only appropriate $3 million to investigate 9/11 when 10 times that was spent investigating Whitewater, a failed land deal from 30 years ago that involved less than $300,000? Half the money that Richard Pearl got for... we don't need to go there. Why did the Bush administration for over a year stonewall victims' family members' demands for a full and independent investigation? And still are. Why do we have this tentative report coming out that the Bush administration is fighting to not release? What are they hiding? It's real interesting. There was an article by Barbara Honegger, who wrote an incredible book called October Surprise. You can only find used copies of it occasionally on the Internet. October Surprise... Well, that's a whole other topic and a tangent, I suppose. But she wrote an article that was a week or so ago on one of the Internet newsletters that I receive. And she pointed out that the morning of 9/11, there was a drill going on. I'll have to dig out the information and share it with you, get the exact names and things. But there was this drill going on to determine how the U.S. military would react to an airplane being flown into multiple airplanes being flown into major buildings. And there was a drill at the Pentagon going on that week about how they would deal with the Pentagon being struck by an airplane. And she suggests that one of the reasons why, even though we knew very early on that a plane had been hijacked, and in fact that multiple planes had been hijacked, we never scrambled our jets. We never, you know, we never went off to intercept these. She suggests it's because everybody in the military thought this was part of the drill. So the question then becomes, why a drill over the exact scenario of what happened? What did they know that we don't know? What were they expecting? And how has this been used? And why is it being covered up? Why? There's a lot of questions that haven't been answered. And Phil Graham wants to raise these questions. And what happens is that the right-wing spin machine defines him as a crank. Well, now we see the saturation of right-wing talk radio. Here, our question, of course, is the right-wing spin machine in danger of disintegration? This, I think, is one of the better examples. Bill O'Reilly last Wednesday, I believe it was, went on the Imus show and said, there is no other cure than to kill Matt Drudge on Imus in the morning. What's he talking about? He's talking about the fact that Matt Drudge of the Drudge Report had reported on the fact that O'Reilly is losing the ratings game, that Limbaugh is beating him in all these markets, and that WOR in New York was paid $300,000 to carry O'Reilly's show. KABC, the KABC Kiss of $250,000 in outdoor advertising from Viacom was a tad less egregious but equally embarrassing. I'm reading here from an article by Jeff Metcalf in the WorldNet Daily website. And the fact that they couldn't even get any station in D.C. to carry the O'Reilly show, even for $200,000, adds insult to injury. So O'Reilly goes berserk about this. Well, I would suggest that what's going on, and I just wrote an op-ed piece about this. I would suggest that what's going on is that the right-wing talk radio market has reached a point of saturation, that there are only so many hard right Republicans, neoconservative Republicans out there in the United States. It's a fairly small universe. It might be 10, 15, 20 million people. It's not a huge number of people. And that Rush Limbaugh has been satisfying them, and Sean Hannity is picking up the hours after Limbaugh, and that when these other guys come along and they try to fill this market and they try to compete, they go down in flames. And we're going to talk about this in more detail tomorrow. But the reason why they go down in flames, in my opinion, is because that market has been saturated. I think it's just full. And, in fact, tomorrow we'll come back to this with some detail, because a really interesting event happened over the weekend. And but there's some other stuff I want to cover before we get to that. So we'll get back tomorrow to what happened on Saturday in the talk radio industry. So something, this was a small blockbuster that was laid on the world by Clear Channel Communications. Here we have in today's USA Today this fawning report about George Bush, how his drive for tax cuts is fueled by his principles, not fueled by payback to the people who put him in office and who keep him in office, not fueled by the fact that he himself will get hundreds of thousands of dollars from it, as will all the other multimillionaires in his cabinet and his administration. Not fueled by the fact that the multimillionaire individuals and the corporations that are looking to have their dividends no longer taxed will benefit from. No, it's his principles. Cutting taxes is at the core of how he believes government should operate. How can government operate if it's not funded? USA Today just does not ask the real questions. Although, interestingly, they it's like they open the door a little bit, but they don't let you see what's going on in the room on the other side. Here, this is from this article in today's USA Today. This is Gannett is out there, they're pushing for this deregulation on June 2nd of the FCC so that they can buy up more newspapers and more communities and get involved in more media. They're in bed with the Bush administration. And so you get this kind of fawning coverage. But they did open the door just a little bit to something. Here it says, I'm quoting today from today's USA Today, the article, Bush's drive for tax cuts fueled by his principles. And they talk about his resolve. Resolve also linked to ambitions for reelection and place in history. Like this is like a noble thing that requires resolve. In 1994, Bush campaigned for governor of Texas on a pledge to reduce state property taxes by $3 billion the following year. The legislature approved $1 billion in cuts, consuming the state's budget surplus. Okay, so in 94, he says, I want to cut taxes by $3 billion. In 95, they cut them by $1 billion, and the state of Texas went from having a budget surplus. Now, this was 1995. This was in the middle of what the Republicans and the neocons call the Clinton bubble. It's actually a time of great prosperity. The stock market had a bubble. But the economy is not driven by the stock market. And it wasn't even the stock market broadly. It was the tech stocks. And the economy is not driven by tech stocks. The economy is much larger and much, much broader and much more robust than that. Anyhow, this was in the middle of the time that they're saying, so he wipes out the budget surplus in Texas in his first year as governor. And then then after he was reelected in 1998, Bush proposed to reduce sales, corporate, and property taxes by $2.7 billion. The legislature approved tax cuts of $1.85 billion, which led to budget deficits. So he's driven the state of Texas into budget deficits. And what have the results of that been? Well, as Molly Ivins, who is a resident of Texas, writes in the Dallas-Fort Worth Star-Telegram, a newspaper in Texas, last week, a week and a half ago, May 4th, Sunday, May 4th, she says, oh, sure, we still have a $10 billion shortfall, but the House just voted to outlaw gay marriage. Yes, that's important when there's a $10 billion shortfall. Meanwhile, the House of Representatives, the Texas House of Representatives, under Republican control, has, and here's the list from Molly Ivins, eliminated 10,810 state jobs, cut 250,000 poor children off the Children's Health Insurance Program, and cut 365,000 from health insurance through Medicaid. Cut prenatal care and delivery for 17,000 pregnant women and services for 366 women with breast and cervical cancer. By the way, I read a thing over the weekend that suggested, I'll have to get the exact quote back for you, but that 18,000 people every year in the United States die as a direct result of lack of access to health care in the United States. We were at ground zero. On Sunday morning, we walked over to New York City to where the World Trade Center used to be. And I was thinking, wow, 3,000 people died here. This is a horrible thing. 18,000 people every year in the United States die as a result of lack of health care. So anyhow, in Texas, because they have these horrible budget shortfalls as a result of Bush's tax cuts, they cut prenatal care and delivery for 17,000 pregnant women and took 366 women with breast and cervical cancer and told them, sorry, you're on your own. You can forget about services. Go die. They closed one state school for the mentally retarded and one state mental hospital. Tossed those people out on the streets. Remember when Reagan did this? And suddenly the nation had homeless people on the streets. We had not seen homeless people in the United States on the streets since the Great Depression. And all of a sudden in the 80s, they appeared. Many of you are probably too young to remember this. I remember it well. In the 60s and the 70s and the 50s, we didn't have homeless people living on the streets in the United States. But then Reagan closed the mental hospitals and threw those people out on the streets. And yeah, many of the homeless are mentally ill because that's the only place. There's no other place for them. Texas cut $22 million from the criminal justice program that provides medication and treatment for mentally impaired offenders who are out on probation or parole. You concerned about your safety in Texas? Well, those people who have committed crimes, served their time, are certifiably mentally ill, and were receiving medication through state Medicare programs are no longer getting their medication. Maybe the people of Texas should be concerned. But fear not, Molly Ivins says, as our peerless leaders in Texas have passed a 24-hour waiting period on abortion and included state-provided color photographs of fetuses for women to study while they wait. These are the important things, of course. So this is what Texas has, this is what's happened in Texas. It's become a wasteland. It has some of the worst air in the United States. It has the worst pollution in the United States because Bush made compliance with pollution laws voluntary across the state of Texas. So now what does USA to say? In their fawning article, we come back to USA Today, they talk about how Bush wiped out the budget surplus in his first term. In his second term, he cut taxes by $1.585 billion, which led to budget deficits. And then they say, this is Bush's success in Texas and his vow to do the same in Washington were a cornerstone of his presidential campaign in 2000. It doesn't get much weirder than that, folks. This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find AMIBA online at amiba.net.
Feed someone who is hungry, and you will feel full. Give a child a reason to dream, and you will feel at peace. Help a teen reclaim his youth, and you will feel years younger. When you help the Salvation Army, everybody feels better. Donate online at SalvationArmyUSA.org. Need knows no season.
Get the good stuff!
Right now would be a good time to come into Napa Auto Parts, because Pennzoil Motor Oil is just $1.39 a quart. Car buffs, race teams, and repair professionals have trusted their engines to Pennzoil Motor Oil for years. This is the good stuff. Fresh, top-quality motor oil is one of the best ways there is to protect the second biggest investment most of us ever make. And at just $1.39 a quart, this is a great time to pick some up.
Get the good stuff!
Napa, get the good stuff.
You know, you ought to check your credit report.
But I just don't have time.
I have to clean out the garage.
And take the kids to the doctor.
And balance my checkbook.
And take the dog to the vet.
And mow the lawn.
And do the grocery shopping. And come back.
Stop. If you haven't checked your credit report, there's a fast, easy solution. Log on to freecreditreport.com and we'll show you how to find out online what's in your credit report. And get 30 days of our credit check monitoring service free. So don't say,
I'm just too busy.
Log on to freecreditreport.com today.
Hey, what are you doing to get in shape for the summer?
Lots of sit-ups, man.
Spinning, baby.
Cutting down on the donuts.
Whatever you're doing to get in shape for the summer, make sure you get your Toyota in shape for summer driving. Bring it into your Toyota dealer before you hit the road. You'll get the very best service performed by Toyota-trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts.
I am walking to work. Of course, I work out of my house.
Make an appointment with your Toyota dealer today and log on to toyota.com/owners for valuable service special coupons.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
Well, the ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Yeah.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Radio program on the IE America Radio Network. We're looking at, is the right-wing spin machine in danger of disintegrating? I think broadly the answer is no, not this week, but the cracks are starting to show. The saturation is happening. The limits of how far they can go are beginning to be observed. People are starting to wake up and say, well, wait a minute, this doesn't make any sense. People are starting to do their math. Let's see, $550 billion in tax, or even $350 billion in tax cuts to produce 1 million jobs. That's $350,000 per job. Now, you don't have to have a Harvard MBA to know that that's not good economics. It's interesting how few people have asked that, or even, you know, those who say, well, you know, that's a tax cut over 10 years. And now we've got who say that's a tax cut over 10 years and those are jobs created over the next 2 years. Well, that's $70,000 per job. It still seems like if you really wanted to just put people back to work, you could just give them the cash or come, you know, help them build the highways or beautify the country or maybe we need a WPA again. Who knows? I don't know, but we've got some tough questions here. Some tough questions. In the next hour, we're going to get into some things. What's going on with Jessica Lynch? This is a tough story, and it has to do with how the right-wing spin machine is operating. We saw a glimpse behind the curtain over the weekend that I want to share with you that was a little bit disconcerting, a lot bit disconcerting. Articles about how the Bush administration has only been rewarding the Iraqi war supporters and things like this. Also, I'm curious what your thoughts are about these issues and also about this show, about what you would like to hear or see more of or less of. You can drop me an email at tom@tomhartman.com, post a message to our website, which is also at tomhartman.com. We'll carry on with this conversation right after the top of the hour. We've got Norman Solomon coming on, some fascinating stuff there. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network.
Through a hole in the air, from those ads, Tiananmen Square. It's coming from the field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Hi,
truth seekers, this is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES. From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Monica DeSantis. A brother-in-law of ousted Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein is in U.S. custody. U.S. officials say the man was also once an Iraqi intelligence agent and is on a U.S. list of most wanted Iraqis. There's been another detour in the roadmap to peace in the Middle East. Another deadly terrorist attack shakes Israel. Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon is blasting Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat for inciting terror. Meanwhile, Arafat is slamming Sharon for occupying the Gaza Strip. Israel's ambassador to the United States says Israel is more than willing to withdraw from the Gaza Strip if and when Arafat denounces terrorism.
We will be more than happy to leave the areas and let him assume responsibilities, but he has to come up with a plan, he has to come up with a resolve, and so far he has not done it. And the concrete steps are arresting the terrorists, confiscating illegal weapons. In the absence of any action by them, we have to do it.
Today's bombing that killed four people comes on the heels of several other attacks, including a suicide bombing on a Jerusalem bus that killed seven people. President Bush welcomed Philippines President Gloria Arroyo in a joint news conference in the East Room of the White House today, saying the Philippines is a true friend to America.
President Arroyo is a friend of America and a friend of freedom. I appreciate her strength. I appreciate her courage. The relationship between the Philippines and the United States is stronger today than at any time in our recent history. Our alliance helps ensure the security of both our countries. This is a vital alliance.
The U.S. has been providing the Philippines with military consultations in their ongoing struggle with Muslim rebels. A man has been taken into custody near the U.S. consulate in Dahran, Saudi Arabia, after he was spotted roaming the area with a gun. His arrest comes as Saudi officials are investigating allegations that members of that country's National Guard sold weapons to Al-Qaeda.
What's the big news in allergy medicine this season? It's a new name in non-drowsy relief, Allivert. New Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, wherever you are. Allivert is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a quick-dissolving tablet. New Allivert. Allergy medicine you can take right when you need it, wherever you are. Allivert. Use as directed.
Cheapo.
Penny Pincher.
Coupon Charlie.
Sure, they're just names, but they hurt.
Ouch.
And there's a place that understands. A place called Hotwire.com. We won't call you things like
belt tightener.
Oh, no. Hotwire will help you embrace your frugal side with the lowest hotel prices guaranteed, or we'll give you double the difference. Does that sound like someone who'd call you a
tightwad?
Nope. The only thing we'll call you is our kind of customer. Oh, and cheapskate.
Hotwire.com. Fly, sleep, drive. Cheap.
White House spokesman Ari Fleischer will be leaving his post sometime this summer. Fleischer announced his resignation today, but says he informed the president last week in an emotional meeting of his plans to depart. He has pledged to stay a key Bush supporter, helping out in the president's bid to get reelected in 2004. Sonar is being used by divers heading back into San Francisco Bay today to search for evidence in the Lacey Peterson case. The underwater investigators are reportedly looking for items like fishing hooks, wires, and a pair of cement blocks that police say Scott Peterson is he's likely to have used to weigh down the body of his pregnant wife.
Get to the Goodyear Hardworking Tire Sale and save big on selected Goodyear brand tires. And for limited time, get up to a $50 gift card for the Home Depot with the purchase of 4 selected Goodyear tires. So stop in today for the Goodyear Hardworking Tire Sale and get up to a $50 gift card for the Home Depot. But hurry, these offers end June 7th. Call 1-800-GOODYEAR for complete details and the retailer nearest you. Or visit a participating location where quality Goodyear tires are sold. Goodyear is not affiliated with the Home Depot.
Taking a look at the markets right now on Wall Street this hour, the Dow was down 162 points, the NASDAQ down 31 points, and the S&P down 19 points. Saturday's multi-state Powerball lottery drawing was delayed nearly 2 hours. Lottery officials tell the Record of New Jersey the security official responsible for overseeing the lottery's computer system in New Jersey was stuck in traffic. With help from a police escort, though, he was in place just before midnight. Oprah Winfrey has signed a new 2-year contract to continue hosting her daytime talk show. In a statement, Viacom's King World Productions says Winfrey will continue with the Oprah Winfrey Show through the 2008 season. Many in the industry had expected Winfrey to call it quits in 2006. And Martha, Inc., the story of Martha Stewart, airs tonight on NBC. The made-for-TV movie purports to offer a glimpse into the life of the domestic diva, Martha Stewart. It's based on an unauthorized biography and stars Sybil Shepherd. I'm Monica DeSantis, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Yesterday, in Brakes 101, master cylinders, calipers, and pads were demystified. You learned they are a lot like hearts, muscles, and skin, all designed to stop cars and save lives. When I come back, it's Brakes 102.
Doug is frugal.
Well, money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
The problem is, Doug is about to buy a used car.
Yep, and I'm gonna get ripped off!
And Doug doesn't know about Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. So you know your money's well spent.
So I might save thousands?
Exactly, Doug. Just go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report.
Hey, how about we go halvesies on the car?
How about nunsies?
How about sumsies?
No. Carfax, the truth about used cars.
Welcome to Brakes 102 at Car Clinic College. Today's lesson, analog braking systems, or ABS. Ever press the brake and nothing? You just pumped and hoped for the best? Hope no more. The best is here. Computer-controlled ABS. This system monitors the speed of individual wheels and applies precise braking power to each. And if any brake starts to lock or slows at a different rate than the others, that specific brake is automatically pumped or pulsed to prevent lockup. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
For a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting from coast to coast on terrestrial radio stations from the depths of outer space on the Sirius satellite, channel 145, and streaming on the Internet from IEAmericaRadio.com, and rebroadcast from 5 to 7 p.m. on RadioPower.org. Welcome to the program. We have this hour with us Norman Solomon, who won the 1999 George Orwell Award for Distinguished Contribution to Honesty and Clarity in Public Language with his latest collection of columns. He's also the co-author of Wizards of Media Oz, Behind the Curtain of Mainstream News, and most recently, co-author of Target Iraq, What the News Media Didn't Tell You. Mr. Solomon, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hi, it's good to be with you.
Well, thank you. I'm pleased and honored to have you with us on this program. Tell us about how the war on Iraq and its accompanying media spin was actually part of the early stages of George Bush's re-election campaign for 2004.
Well, really, this presidency has never stopped running for re-election since the day that Bush put his hand on the Bible during the inauguration. It's a constant exercise in what the professionals call media manipulation. They don't call it that publicly. The more pristine term is something like perception management.
Right.
And manage they do. So, you know, whether it's Ari Fleischer standing in front of the press corps every day doing his thing, or the president jetting onto an aircraft carrier, it's all about image manipulation and the next election.
What do you make of Ari Fleischer's announcement today that he's leaving his position?
Well, you know, people come and go, and Karen Hughes, the other important media person, went back to Texas after helping Bush get through the Florida debacle for the Democrats right at the end of the race in 2000. And, you know, people do have other needs. I noticed in the AP dispatch I saw this morning about Fleischer leaving, there was some reference to, as the article delicately put it, Fleischer planning to go to the private sector, which, you know, Tom, is really a euphemism for time to cash in.
Right. Payback time.
Yeah.
Payback time. You done good, fella. So here's some, you know, we'll give you a $500,000 a year job.
Yeah, it's really notable. These are people with a political ideology that trashes the public sector, that wants to plaster the names of corporations on everything from schools to ballparks to whatever. Someday they'll be selling it out to put logos on people's foreheads in the name of free enterprise. But they're very glad to go into government just long enough so that they can go out and make a killing financially right after it.
Yeah, we see this over and over again. Now Norman Solomon, author of Target Iraq, What the News Media Didn't Tell You, or co-author. Mr. Solomon, you suggested that the Bush administration, George Bush and Dick Cheney, have basically been running for their re-election ever since they were first elected. How is that different from Bill Clinton?
Well, I think really it's not very different, except that the press corps has been even more subservient early on in this Bush 2 administration. We tend to forget that early on in the Clinton years, there was an enormous amount of adulation. Of course, you had quarters like Rush Limbaugh and the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal that were hostile to him from the get-go. But there was an enormous amount of fawning over the new Democrats and so forth. And it wasn't
the DLC.
Really, pardon me?
And the DLC and this whole new agenda.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. That these were, you know, the new breed of Democrats, you know, the corporate ones, that they would keep emulating Republicans and therefore were more acceptable. And really, you know, it was the end of a 20-year drumbeat about how the Democrats had become too liberal. And so this was a lot of adulation. And then we had the Lewinsky stuff and some other contradictions, you might say, within the system. But I think that Bush, ever since 9/11, has certainly had a clear glide, and his pathway to reelection in terms of the quality of media coverage has been pretty well cleared.
Yeah, I remember I mentioned this in the last hour, but I don't remember the details. Maybe you can bring them to mind. Right after George Bush came to power, was selected by the Supreme Court, there was an article, as I recall, in the New York Times, and I also saw it in my local paper here in Vermont, the Burlington Free Press, or the Times Argus, the Montpelier Times Argus, that said that one of the vice presidents of CNN had made a pilgrimage to Washington, D.C. to assure the Bush administration that in the future, unlike during the campaign, they would not edit out Bushisms, you know, his mangling of the language. They would make sure that good camera angles were, in other words, they would give him favorable coverage. They would always try to make him look good rather than portray him as he is, or as some on the right said, make him look bad. Do you remember that event?
I vaguely remember some account of such a discussion. There was also a visit to Capitol Hill from somebody from CNN, I remember. There is a preemptive club held over the head of the networks, the myth of the liberal media, as a way to brandish this weapon to keep journalists in line, lest they actually do a lot of actual journalism that
right.
is not just repetition of reliance on official sources, but actually digging and being watchdogs instead of the proverbial lapdogs. And I think, you know, if there's a turning point, it was 9/11 in terms of media coverage. Because if we were to go back in the archives of the first few months of the Bush 2 administration, he was in pretty bad shape. I mean, there was an image, well earned, I believe, that here was a guy in way over his head who was inept, inarticulate, fumbling around. He actually had not gotten more popular votes. He'd gotten more than 500,000 less popular votes than Al Gore. Many people, for good reason, perceived that he'd stolen the election in Florida. The guy was just in bad shape. But after 9/11, he actually, by then, had learned to read a teleprompter, which was the cause for great adulation in the mass media. His speech in Congress, where all of a sudden he was like FDR. And, you know, instead of saying we have nothing to fear but fear itself, he was basically saying the only thing we have to fear is not enough fear. And he rode that horse into this current track of circular adulation where the press keeps regurgitating its own messages and citing each other to prove how masterful he and his team really are.
Right. We're speaking with Norman Solomon, the co-author of Target Iraq, What the News Media Didn't Tell You, and numerous other books and articles. Mr. Solomon, by the way, is there a website that centralizes your work?
Well, an easy way is to go to FAIR's website, which is FAIR.org, and look for the Media Beat column. And also right. over at the Institute for Public Accuracy, some of my kind of research work in collaboration with a lot of other folks is at accuracy.org on the web.
Great, thank you. Norman Solomon, a question. The liberal media, this has been the topic of one of the books that you've worked on and numerous articles that you've written. Tell us, how did this myth of the liberal media, as it were, I suppose that there is some liberal media out there, perhaps it's good to identify it, but how did this myth that all media is part of an intellectual liberal elite come about, and how does it get perpetuated, and how do you refute it?
Well, in modern times, I think we can trace it back to Spiro Agnew before he was indicted and forced to resign in disgrace under the Nixon administration. He, in 1969, in the autumn of that year, delivered a bunch of speeches penned by William Safire and Patrick Buchanan, who are not exactly strangers to the media elites and corporate media in the decades since, but it was all about how the elite core of impotent snobs and so forth had gone ahead to abrogate the rights of red-blooded Americans for free expression in their kind of rarefied corporate suites. And what was very interesting is that the Nixon administration didn't go after the media that were very powerful, that loved the administration, you know, outlets like Newhouse or Reader's Digest or Annenberg or these kind of, you know, the Hearst people who are rapidly pro-Nixon and quite powerful. They went after particularly outlets like the New York Times and Washington Post that wasn't totally doing puffery for them. And I think, ironically, in the past third of a century, the myth of the liberal media has been overwhelmingly propagated by the mass media themselves, you know, which ought to tell us something that these...
Yeah, if anything, there's been this effort to bend over backwards to appear unbiased, and as a result, as FAIR has documented so well, NPR, for example, even in their coverage of the Iraq War, relied mostly on generals and pro-war sources, and the anti-war sources were invisible. In any topic, it seems the corporate view or the right-wing view is overrepresented in the media out of fear of being accused of being liberal.
Definitely, and the megaphone is really in the hands of people who are well-represented by, say, Rush Limbaugh or the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal. And so there is a right-wing echo chamber with a big chunk of the mass media that very quickly can put out this message. It's able to promote books like Bias and Slander by Goldberg and Coulter, and there's just people who don't even have a passing acquaintance with an accurate fact checker. But this is what goes on and on. And how can we challenge it? Well, I think information is key to provide actual research and analysis, building independent media, and also making inroads in what we call mainstream. You know, the ludicrous aspect of the liberal media claim, one of those aspects is that we're talking about dyed-in-the-wool, blue blood, and very corporate entities like Disney, General Electric, Viacom, right-wing Rupert Murdoch's News Corp. These are outfits, most of them on Wall Street. So can Wall Street really be anti-capitalist? Can Wall Street really be anti-corporate? I don't think so.
Yeah. Yeah, and yet they're regular, all because it seems Krugman and Kristof occasionally have a voice on one page of the New York Times.
Yeah,
this is the perennial whipping boys of the right. You've written about depleted uranium, I believe.
Yeah, our book has a chapter on that, and it really fits into the point you were making a couple of minutes ago. The Media Watch Group FAIR has done an empirical study, for instance, of the prime time and evening news broadcasts of the major TV networks in this country during the first few weeks of the war. And they published the study on May 6th, the day after the data gathering had been completed. And so we're talking about weeks and weeks of primetime coverage. And what the study found is that although the U.S., according to the British Guardian, dropped 1,500 cluster bombs in Iraq during this last war, some of which remain unexploded and are exploding in children's hands, quite literally, as they pick them up, those TV network broadcasts scarcely mentioned that the U.S. had dropped cluster bombs. And in the case of depleted uranium, which the U.S. dropped plenty of, the study found that depleted uranium had never been mentioned on those network news shows.
Right. Norman Solomon we're speaking with here from FAIR, the author of Target Iraq, What the News Media Didn't Tell You. We'll be back after this break. This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network, bringing you uncommon sense from the radical middle.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Are you wondering how to prosper in our so-called muddle-through economy? Experts say that gold is now the buy of a generation. Hi, I'm Christopher Kent, host of Antique Talk, and I'd like to introduce you to Swiss America, the company that's helping America to rediscover gold. Now, I'm no expert on the economy or on gold, but I am an expert on antiques and collectibles. And Swiss America is the leader in the United States collectible coin market, which has a very impressive track record over the past 30 years. But before you launch out into rare coins, the first step is to get educated. So please, write this number down, 1-800-289-2646, which spells 1-800-BUY-COIN. That's BUYCOIN. Ask for a free copy of The New Gold Rush. It'll help you understand this emerging gold rush so you can stake your claim and tell them Christopher Kent told you to call.
Have you been to a pharmacy lately? If so, you've probably been handed a brochure with a form for you to sign, indicating that you have received notice of how the pharmacy deals with your private medical information. At the top, these notices are reassuring, proclaiming something like, "We'll guard your privacy like a screeching mama eagle protecting her baby eaglets." But alas, these privacy policies don't stop there, going on for several pages filled with small, dense type, as though they really don't want you reading it, much less understanding it. The only reason pharmacies are suddenly expressing concern about our privacy is that a new law requires them to give written notice of their policies. I recently got one issued by the national drug chain Walgreens, whose official corporate slogan is, "The Pharmacy America Trusts." If they have to tell us they're trustworthy, are they? At the top of their 8-page notice of privacy practices, Walgreens flatly declares, "We will not use or disclose your personal health information without your written authorization." But then comes this kicker, "Except as described or otherwise permitted by this notice." Uh-oh, here we go. The brochure then lists 22 ways in which they can peddle our medical privacy. It turns out that Walgreens will turn loose your and my records anytime requested to do so by workers' comp authorities, local police, an opposing lawyer in a court case, the Secret Service, the Pentagon, the FBI, the CIA, and other federal intelligence agents, the Homeland Security Czar, and a category called Other. Also, they can use our medical records as, quote, part of a fundraising effort. But, says Walgreens, we customers do have the right to request restrictions on how they use our information. But it's only a request. Quote, we are not required to agree to those restrictions. This is Jim Hightower saying, this is not protection. It's legalized invasion of our privacy rights.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Radio program where we don't get our points from right-wing think tanks or the RNC, but try to think for ourselves here, looking for new information, interesting things that are going on. We're talking with Norman Solomon, the author of numerous books and articles affiliated with FAIR, Freedom and Accuracy in Reporting.org, FAIR.org, co-author of Target Iraq, What the News Media Didn't Tell You About the Media Spin and Bush's Re-Election Campaign and the Iraq Situation. Mr. Solomon, in this last segment, I'm wondering if... I have two quick questions, and maybe you can take them in order or there's a way to synthesize them. What accounts, in your opinion, for the high popularity ratings that President Bush is reported to have, and what hope do you see for the future of this country coming out of the current situation?
Well, I think the hope is in the grassroots activism and information flow that has grown. You know, the trends remind me of a lake with different layers moving in different directions. And so on the surface, and indeed deeply in some respects, the militarism, the hostility to those who don't simply salute the flag and keep their mouths shut, that's pretty ominous. But on the other hand, you've got radio programs like this, not enough, but you have the growth of independent minded media that talks about people thinking for themselves, that supplies information we're not going to find on the front pages or the evening news. And I think what we do find in those mass media outlets really does explain the high popularity of George W. Bush, if the polls are to be believed. And in some sense, I think they reflect that most people at least tolerate Bush, think he's passable. So look at the British news media and you see that there's a lot more independent reporting and a lot less regard for the qualities of George Bush. As a matter of fact, he's seen as, in many quarters, a dangerous idiot, which I think is not a bad description, quite frankly. A lot of the differential is just the quality of news coverage.
You don't actually think he's an idiot, do you?
Well, I think in a moral sense and in the sense of being able to deal with arguments in a rational way, you know, there were so many holes in his pitch for the war in Iraq, and at the same time, I think that he's quite adept at doing what seems to sell, at following orders from his handlers, and so I wouldn't discount him as a very dangerous and, in some sense, skillful politician.
Yeah, it seems to me that we underestimate George Bush at our peril.
Absolutely.
He was very competent as governor of Texas at getting things done in the way that he wanted them done, although what he wanted done was to leave the landscape of the state a toxic waste dump and bankrupt the state so that now they're in one of the worst fiscal disasters, the worst economic crisis, fiscal crisis, governmental fiscal crisis in the history of the state, even before it was a state.
Yeah, there are these different layers where somebody, and I think Bush is definitely in this category, who is adept at certain sorts of skills, maybe even very good at doing some things, but when you step back and look at the big picture, he's driving us over a cliff.
Yeah. I think that many of our listeners would agree with that. Norman Solomon, I want to thank you for being on our program, co-author of Target Iraq, What the News Media Didn't Tell You. If you want to read more of Norman Solomon's work, you can find it on www.fair.org, or what was the other website you mentioned?
People can join the Institute for Public Accuracy on the web at accuracy.org.
Ah, yes, accuracy. Well, we get the newsletter, the email newsletter from that. So it's great. Lots of good information. Accuracy.org as well. Thank you very much for being with us on the Tom Hartman program today. Norman Solomon, I appreciate your being available.
Oh, good talking with you.
Thank you. Our quote for the hour, our message for the day, transformation. This is one of the points that Norman Solomon made, and it's worth revisiting. Transformation from Gandhi. Transformation begins when a vision that belongs to one person becomes one that belongs to many. Are you sharing your vision with others? Are you helping a new vision for America to be spread across the landscape, or actually an old vision, the vision that the founders had for this country? This is the future of America. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program. We'll be right back after this break. Stick with us.
Right turn, right turn, right turn, right turn back to the dealership. That's a typical test drive. Now, GM introduces the 24-hour test drive. Bring home a GM car or truck. Keep it overnight. See how it fits in your garage. See how it fits in your life. For more information and to locate a participating dealer, click to gm.com/24-hour. You must be 21 and be an insured licensed driver with approved credit.
Well, let me sleep on it. I'll give you an answer in the morning.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Rising temperatures could help push Alaskan communities into the sea. After years of struggle, a few of them have decided to move. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. About 600 people live in the village of Shishmaref, Alaska. The community sits on a tiny island near the Bering Strait that separates Alaska from Russia. For centuries, people on the island have earned their living from the sea. But the sea is rising, the waves are getting bigger, and the village is washing away. Last August, the people there voted to pull up stakes and move to the mainland. Tony Wayoana was born in Shishmaref. He's a native Inupiaq Eskimo, and he works on the town's Erosion and Relocation Coalition.
We don't want to move, but considering the situation here, we have to move. We're limited in land for development, and we're continually moving homes and other structures away from the beach to prevent them from falling over into the sea.
Wayoana says a lot of villagers worry that moving from the island to the mainland will change their traditional subsistence way of life.
Our main diet is seals and fish and that kind of stuff from the ocean, so the community moving to a location on the mainland, it kind of changes our situation. You know, how are we going to access our subsistence that we've been accustomed to for hundreds of years?
Rising temperatures in the Arctic are behind the erosion that's eating away at Shishmaref and other villages. An increase of a few degrees in the last century has melted some of the permafrost, and it now crumbles more easily. Ice on the ocean has melted, and storm waves have gotten bigger, and melting glaciers have helped raise sea levels by 1 foot during the past 100 years. This triple threat from warmer weather has Shishmaref and other villages in Alaska on the move. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
The Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern, on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
Hi, I'm Stephen Sack, and I host the Employees Lawyer Show on IE America Radio Network. We take calls from people all over the United States, and we help them in their job problems. So if you ever wondered what job rights you have and how to fight back, I'm the guy to call.
Listen to Stephen at his new time on Sundays from 9 a.m. until noon and rebroadcast from 9 p.m. till midnight.
For more information on my show or other shows on the IE America Radio Network, go to IEAmericaRadio.com. It's the best advice I can give.
the best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Environmental meltdown around the world. How can we get the U.S. government involved? And how can we get individuals and corporations involved in this? This is an important question. Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network, bringing you uncommon sense from the radical middle. Our number is 1-800-TALK-YES in this final half hour of the program. It's about 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-TALK-YES, that's 1-800-825-5937. General Electric, I saw we were traveling and I turned on the TV in a hotel room and there was an ad for GE talking about their wind power program, how they were making turbines, wind generators. And my first thought was that this was sort of like the American Express ads. I remember back in the old days, this is a decade or more ago, American Express used to run these ads for how you could get your money back if you lost your money on your American Express traveler's checks. They were nice ads. But the fact was that American Express spent more money, and this wasn't anything, you know, terrible about Amex, it's just the nature of advertising. They spent more money advertising the fact that you could get your money back than they actually spent giving people their money back, because there weren't that many claims. And, or at least that was the folklore in the advertising industry, which I was a part of at that point in time. And so I figured, well, okay, GE is probably making a few million bucks a year making these wind turbines, but they're going to spend $100 million advertising the fact because it makes them look green. And, you know, it's kind of the instantaneous cynical response. And now looking at it, we find out it's not so much the case. GE, this is an article from the Associated Press from last week by John Christofferson. GE's move into wind power business seen as significant. General Electric purchased Enron Corporation's wind turbine business, and they expected to generate over $1 billion in revenue this year, and it's growing 20% annually. This is great news. This is the kind of thing that filling demand. This is how it's supposed to work in the system. The Power Systems Division of GE, according to this article in the AP, is on the downside of a. Now this is their old fashioned, you know, gas turbines for power plants is on the downside of a very long business cycle. In other words, they're making less and less money building conventional old fashioned polluting power plants. But on the upside, and they've laid off hundreds of workers at their turbine plants, shipments are down and the near-term outlook is bleak. But when it comes to wind power, this has become one of the fastest-growing segments of the global energy industry, the AP says. Wind turbine sales represents a $7 billion business globally and should grow to $20 billion in the next 5 to 10 years. The market is doubling about every 3 years, according to Randall Schwisher, the executive director of the American Wind Energy Association, quoted in the Associated Press. 13 states now require utilities to include renewable energy, such as wind and solar power, as a portion of their business. This is an example of how government, in partnership with industry, can help set an agenda. Governments look at what's going on. They say, well, wait a minute, it's not healthy for us to be entirely dependent upon oil. This is what they've been doing in Europe for some time with these very high taxes on gasoline, for example. What it does is it's spurred enormous innovations in conservation, in development of alternative energies and alternative fuels right across the board. It's just been an extraordinary and positive thing. General Electric has supplied 130 wind turbines for a proposed project off Cape Cod, which, by the way, has its own detractors. There are local people who are saying, but that's going to be ugly. And at what point do we have to say, well, okay, would you rather have a power plant that's blowing out coal fumes, you know, exhaust? Or, I mean, is this the NIMBY, the not-in-my-backyard syndrome? or is there something larger? It'd be interesting to hear from some of those folks who are opposed to these wind turbines off the coast of Cape Cod. They just supplied 10 wind turbines to one of the largest wind farms in Japan, and L.A. just bought 20 of them. Jeff in Denver is on the line. Jeff, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. What's on your mind today?
One of the things that I see that's very frustrating is virtually everything that's proposed by the government and companies are things that will keep us paying monthly bills. And what I get frustrated by is see solar is so neglected because solar won't keep you on a monthly bill. People misunderand solar. All they think of solar is it's photovoltaics. But they forget just putting, like in the northern climate, putting the windows on the south side of your house. That's building a solar house. In the south, extending your eaves by 6 inches. That's keeping the sun out and keeping, you know, reducing your air conditioning.
Right.
And we've got solar. Just giving some solar considerations can at least reduce a load in a house, you know, for heating or cooling by 50%.
Yes.
And it is so easy. It is so cheap. It keeps you away from monthly bills. And the big thing is it provides us with much better national security through less energy usage. And the biggest thing is it's decentralized. We need to concentrate in decentralized power. It was like a few years ago, last decade, there was a power line went down in Oregon, and most of the West lost its power. And, you know, terrorists could easily get us by just knocking out just a few power lines.
Right, with and solar, crashing the grid.
Yeah, with solar, they can't do anything.
Yeah, it's I wrote a piece for a collection called Imagine What America Could Be in 50 Years that Marianne Williamson edited. And I wrote a column. It's a book, and it was a collection of essays, actually. And I wrote an essay for it about local communities having decentralized power sources where individual homes are generating their own electricity or, at worst, individual city blocks generating their own power. You know, somewhere between 20 and 70%, depending on what part of the United States you're looking at, of all electricity generated is lost simply in transmission.
Yes.
Just lost in the power line. So decentralizing power is an important thing. Jeff, during the Carter administration, there was an explosion in the solar power industry because the Carter administration had successfully passed legislation that gave tax breaks and tax credits to individuals like you and me who, if we wanted to build a new house that was very solar friendly, or if we wanted to retrofit an old house or insulate a house or add south-facing windows or add triple glazing or whatever, anything that's going to enhance the efficiency of a home, that we could actually get tax credits for it. It was one of the very first things that Reagan did as an official act of office. The first thing he did was remove the solar collectors from the White House roof. And one of the first pieces of legislation that he killed was that.
And
Go ahead.
And the other thing that Reagan did is ENRA, well, then it was called the Solar Energy Research Fund Institute, was getting $400 million a year under Carter. It went down to about $100 million as soon as Reagan came in. And we are spending more money on military brass bands than alternative energy research at that time.
Today?
At that time. I don't know the present figure right now, but it hasn't gone up at all. I mean, right now with Bush's new proposal for hydrogen, first of all, most of the hydrogen would come from fossil fuels. So it's hydrogen is an energy storage device, not an energy production. Yeah, it's not a source of energy. And we have to get it from somewhere, which most of the, if you look at what they're proposing, most of it would be from cracking natural gas and oil.
Yeah, and that's the dirty little secret of the Bush hydrogen car initiative.
And the bulk of what they're spending money on is still, even with the hydrogen proposal, which he didn't mention they're spending more on nuclear, coal, and gas right now. That we have a socialism where we are subsidizing these industries.
Yeah, it's very much the case. Jeff, thank you very much for your call. I appreciate your calling in and adding that commentary to our rant here today. Thank you, Jeff. One other good bit of news here. This is really interesting. This is from Alternative Medicine Magazine, the June 2003 issue, which is a fascinating publication. And a new study at the University of California, Davis, has found, and by the way, if you'd like to comment on any of these things, 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. New study at the University of California, Davis, has found that organically grown berries and corn carry significantly higher levels of phenolic compounds. These are antioxidants thought to reduce the risk of illnesses like cancer and heart disease. Organic stuff is better. You know, setting aside John Stossel's very bizarre thing that he did on his TV show 5 or 6 years ago where they said, oh, organic stuff is awful because they grow it in animal waste. The fact of the matter is those are called nutrients. It's called fertilizer. Anyhow, the antioxidants thought to reduce the risk of illnesses like cancer and heart disease. The organic corn and berries had 50% more phenols than conventionally grown versions. Strawberries, 19%. And they wonder why. Why would these things, why would organically grown corn and berries have half again more of the compounds that prevent heart disease and cancer? It turns out that these compounds are produced by these plants in response to their being attacked by insects or in competition with other weeds. Well, what they say, Allison Mitchell, an assistant professor of food chemistry and toxicology who led the study, said that since phenols are generated in reaction to an attack by bugs or an infestation of fungus, plants not defended by pesticides will tend to produce more of them. And they suggest that any kind of organic produce will be healthier for people because wild plants have these high levels of phenols consistently. These chemicals that work against cancer and help protect us from heart disease. So therefore, they suggest it would make sense that other plants farmed without chemicals would hew to this natural state and would be good for us. What great news. Now, a little bit of bad news, as it were. What's going on in Iraq? We have this extraordinary story in the Christian Science Monitor. This is from May 15th edition of the Christian Science Monitor. At a roadside produce stand on the outskirts of Baghdad, business is brisk for Latif Khalaf Hamid. Iraqi drivers pull up and snap up fresh bunches of parsley, mint, leaves, dill, and onion stalks. But her stand is just 4 paces away from a burnt-out Iraqi tank that was destroyed by American depleted uranium bullets. So the reporters, the Christian Science News, sent some reporters over to Iraq with Geiger counters. Said, let's check this thing out. They walk up to this thing. The kids who are playing in the dust of this tank, quote from the Christian Science Monitor, they gather around as a Geiger counter, carried by a visiting reporter, starts singing when it nears a depleted uranium bullet fragment no bigger than a pencil eraser. It registers nearly 1,000 times normal background radiation levels on the digital readout. The Christian Science Monitor visited 4 sites in the city of Baghdad, including 2 randomly chosen destroyed Iraqi armored vehicles, a clutch of burnt American ammunition trucks, and the downtown planning ministry, and found significant levels of radioactive contamination from the U.S. battle for Baghdad. We say we're opposed to nuclear war. I think we just fought one. The A-10 Warthog aircraft fired more than 300,000 bullets of depleted uranium into this city. A 3-foot-long depleted uranium dart from a 120-millimeter tank shell was found producing radiation at 1,300 times background levels. The Christian Science Monitor reporter says, it made the instrument's staccato bursts turn into a steady whine. It went from brrr to brrr. Oh, my goodness. Walter Burkhardt, the Deputy Director General for Nuclear Science and Applications at the UN's International Atomic Energy Agency, says somebody has to clean up these sites. Now, at the same time that the Christian Science Monitor is figuring this out, we have Mohammed al-Baradei, the head of the United Nations Nuclear Weapons Inspection Team, telling us that the U.S. Army, the U.S. government, will not allow them to go back into Iraq to figure out what's happened there. Will not allow them to go in and look at the situation. Why? Well, my guess is that if they were to go in, they would discover that this country has been contaminated by our nuclear waste. The British are handling this by saying that they are going to screen their soldiers for depleted uranium exposure, and they are going to publish the details of where their troops used depleted uranium in Iraq. But that accounts for the smallest, just this tiny, tiny fragment. The Pentagon, on the other hand, according to the Christian Science Monitor, has been tight-lipped about depleted uranium. A sergeant in Baghdad told a Christian Science Monitor reporter, after we shoot something with DU, we're not supposed to go around it due to the fact that it could cause cancer. Apparently, we've told a few of our soldiers about this. Six American vehicles struck with depleted uranium-friendly fire in 1991 during the first Gulf War were deemed too contaminated to bring home and were buried in Saudi Arabia. Toxic waste. Of the ones that they did bring home, six of them had to be buried in South Carolina in a low-level radioactive waste dump. This is six of our vehicles that got hit with our bullets by accident. When they brought them back here, they discovered they were so radioactive, they had to be treated as if they were radioactive waste and dealt with in a radioactive waste dump. One pile, this is the Christian Science Monitor again, one pile of jet black dust yielded a digital readout of 9,839 radioactive emissions in 1 minute, more than 300 times average background levels registered by the Geiger counter. Another pile of dust reached 11,585 emissions in a minute. The depleted uranium bullets are made of low-level radioactive nuclear waste material left over from the making of nuclear weapons and nuclear fuel. This stuff has a half-life of 4.5 billion years. The Christian Science Monitor says, in the first Gulf War, U.S. forces used 320 tons of depleted uranium, 80% of it fired by A-10 aircraft. Some estimates suggest 1,000 tons or more of depleted uranium was used in the current war. We got rid of a lot of our nuclear waste by dumping it on Iraq, 1,000 tons of nuclear waste that we couldn't figure out any other way to get rid of. New Mexico didn't want it, Nevada didn't want it, South Carolina didn't want it, so we gave it to the Iraqis. And what are we going to do about it? This is a question that really needs to be brought up. This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
Get to the Goodyear Hardworking Tire Sale and save big on selected Goodyear brand tires. And for limited time, get up to a $50 gift card for the Home Depot with the purchase of 4 selected Goodyear tires. So stop in today for the Goodyear Hardworking Tire Sale and get up to a $50 gift card for the Home Depot. But hurry, these offers end June 7th. Call 1-800-GOODYEAR for complete details and the retailer nearest you. Or visit a participating location where quality Goodyear tires are sold. Goodyear is not affiliated with the Home Depot.
Honey, what's for dinner?
Hot dogs.
We had hot dogs last night.
Mm-hmm.
And for breakfast today,
yeah.
And lunch.
I'm playing the French's Mustard Instant Win Game. Every bottle has a giveaway. You can win $50,000 instantly or tons of great stuff from Six Flags.
Well, French's is my favorite mustard.
Now it's even better.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. All claims must be postmarked by 12/31/03. Must be legal U.S. resident 18 years to enter. See specially marked packages of French's Mustard or www.frenchesfoods.com for details. Nothing cuts the mustard like French's.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Hey, here's Nancy in the background. Nancy.
Oh,
Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Oh. Hello.
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 Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Ooh, yeah.
Jamming about the politics of right and left, the radical middle, common sense and uncommon sense, helping you win the water cooler wars. The eternal question of the Tom Hartman Program is, are we advancing democracy or are we advancing corporatism? The great speech Teddy Roosevelt gave back in 1907 about how the difference between small, medium, and large corporations and how small and medium corporations built and made this country. And the very largest of corporations among us represent a potential danger to democracy. There's this eternal tension, this dynamic tension between very large corporations and government itself. The founders had this very clear idea that a corporation shouldn't be allowed to aggregate wealth forever any more than a human could, because a human being eventually dies. And his property or her property has to be probated, has to be subject to scrutiny and willed to others. And there's essentially a reinvention of what it's all about and what's being done with it. And all. That similarly, a corporation had the tendency or the potential to become like an empire, to essentially grow forever and become an enormous, powerful thing. And therefore, up until around 1890 in the United States, every single state in the Union had laws on the books that said a corporation could not live for more than 40 years. In some states it was even as low as 20 years or 30 years, and then it had to reinvent itself. In California now, there is a bill, a corporate street, three strikes and you're out law, that has just made it through one of the houses of the California legislature, and looks like it actually might have a chance of becoming law. This is a wonderful piece of legislation that suggests that if we're going to put an individual in jail on a three strikes and you're out basis, where it's even, you know, we have people who are serving literally life sentences for three shoplifting convictions. If we're going to do that, then if a corporation repeatedly breaks the law after three times, we'll put them out of business. They can sell off their assets, and the people who started it can start over again. Interesting times we live in. I see change on the horizon. I think good times are coming for this country, and I want to be part of it. I hope you do, too. This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Networks. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you tomorrow.
Been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for